Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Wednesday hump day, the first day of March 2023. We have arrived in a brand new month. Spring, despite what the old groundhog said, spring is on its way. We're in that transition month of March. Glad to have you on the show, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer engineer on the board. And it is hump day, and that means we'll check it. There he is, the fantastic camel. We'll check in with Pat Kreitlow in just one moment. But first of all, the quick weather headline for you. Across our listening area, WRCE, and news from the center in southwest Wisconsin. Expect today decreasing clouds, a high of 49 degrees. It may hit 50 degrees. Break out the shorts of the RC today in the southwest part of the state. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 26. And Thursday, mostly cloudy and a high near 39. Up in Wausau, WXCO, Bull Falls Radio. A little wintry mix today, so do drive carefully. Up to 2 inches of snow today. A hazardous weather outlook and advisory is in effect. A high of 34, which means it's right on the cusp of freezing. And so drive carefully. That will continue into tonight. That's another inch or so of precipitation possible in Wausau. Things will clear out tomorrow on Thursday, mostly cloudy and a high of 32. And in beautiful Amory, WLAK, Lake Air Radio, snow today, up to 3 inches possible. Then for tonight, the snow will taper off eventually, a low of 11 degrees. And then for tomorrow, the sun comes out in Amory at a high of 31. Kara Foster from Weatherology will be along at the bottom of the hour to bring us the complete weather forecast. Also coming up a little bit later, Trigvi Olson from the Lincoln Project. But right now, our friend, our neighbor, our colleague to the north, the one and the only, Pat Kreitlow. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Good morning. How are you doing?
Well, good. How are things on beautiful Lake Lesotho?
They're beautiful. They're beautiful every day. Although I would note we have a very light coating of something. It's white. It could be snowflakes. It could be whatever that crumple thing is. Powdered sugar. I don't know, but I don't have to drive on it, so I'm okay. And I'd recommend nobody else either. So.
No, we were talking about your show on Crossover Wednesday. I appear on the last part of your show, and then you were gracious enough to come over here. And we were talking about Girl Scout cookies. Your question of the week, asking all the guests. I said my favorite were kind of a thin mint, and what do you call them, Aaron? Or what's the other ones?
Trefoils.
Samoas or caramel delights. Or no, trefoils.
Trefoils. Yeah, trefoil.
Truffles? Are these mushroom flavored cookies? What do we got going here?
It could be trefoil. I just think it's trefoil because I know that's how my mom and sister said it. And
they're Girl Scouts.
Yeah.
All right. We'll try.
You know, there are words like that. Now we're going off the rails.
That's
here, but
fun.
There are words that you learn to pronounce them a certain way. Mm. And you then find out many, many years later that either your parent or a teacher was wrong.
100%.
And 100%. And for me, I learned that it was archipelago. And all I've ever heard since is archipelago to describe the geographic. All right. there's a few other words like that. And that is trefoils or trefoils is a perfect example. I've seen it all the time. When do you ever hear that used in a sentence?
You don't.
Never.
I thought it was, is it not archipelago?
I don't know. I now have doubts.
You guys are
I've heard both ways to the point where there used to be these things called dictionaries, and I would open them up and look, and I could understand the pronouncers, which are now all appear to be written in Latin. And now, of course, there's Google with a little thing that you can listen to the word, which God knows Aaron better be doing right now from what it looks like he's doing over there.
Yes, he did.
So, archipelago.
Say it again.
Archipelago.
There you go.
Okay. So whichever one I learned, I've now forgotten, but I thought it was archipelago, and it's not.
See, look, that's a great example. You tune in every morning, 6 until 8, on the Civic Media Network for Up North News and Pat.
And get more useless information for life like this.
You know, my former boss, I've said this before, Pat, you'll appreciate this. My former boss, State Senator Dale Schultz, we were going somewhere one time, and it was my job to keep up on the news as the staffer and kind of make sure he knew what was going on. I gave him some sort of pop, culture thing before he went in and gave a speech. And he looked over at me and he said, God, you know a lot of useless crap, but I'm sure glad you do. So, you know, I tend to specialize in the useless stuff, but on Pat's show, you get real meaty information and knowledge. And tell folks, Pat, what's coming up. You announced on your show a little bit earlier, you have a high-profile get, quite a wonderful guest coming up later on this week on your show.
Well, yeah, we do. We have former Missouri Congressman Dick Gephardt, who was the longtime Democratic leader in the House of Representatives from the late 80s through the 90s, served as both House Majority Leader and Minority Leader, candidate for president in 1988, and has since retired, is now a lobbyist, but is also part of a couple of different groups that are, shall we say, trying to ride to the rescue of democracy. In his case, he's part of a national speaking tour, which includes stops in Wisconsin this week. They're trying to get people from both sides of the aisle to appreciate that our democracy is fragile, that we can't take it for granted, and that when you're casting doubt on elections, you know, baselessly, that's not a good thing. It's not good for America. It's not good for democracy. And can we get more folks on the right side of the aisle to acknowledge that and appreciate it? And I wish him well on it. We're going to talk to him Friday morning at 7:15, all about it.
Look forward to listening to that. Speaking of getting people to kind of come together and wake up a little bit, I want to get your take, Pat, on this story that's been breaking over the last few days, on the Dominion voting machine trial involving Fox News. Now it came out yesterday in the New York Times that Robert Murdoch himself, the CEO and head of Fox, knew this information and was false and still allowed Fox to spread it. He admitted it under oath. And, you know, Kristen Bryan was talking about this on her show. I talked about it a little bit on our show yesterday. How do you kind of relate to people in our neck of the woods who are Fox fans without making them feel terrible about themselves? Well, the way I've kind of approached it is, hey, you know, look, you've been taken. And realize that. So I'm sorry I didn't leave much time. But what's your take?
It's simple. Fox News isn't news. It never was. It's always been meant to be propaganda. And we'll talk about it more in the coming days, I'm sure.
Look forward to it, Pat. Thanks so much. Talk to you later. Have a good day.
You bet.
See back after this.
Morning, beautiful. How was your night? Mine was wonderful with you by my side.
Good morning. It's now 8:15. Back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Mr. Thomas choosing a little bit of a mellow good morning here as the sun rises.
Well, Trigvy said during the break that he forgot time zones and he was having a bit of a rough wake up. So well, I thought I'd play something nice and gentle.
It was very mellow. It's like something you program Alexa to wake you up to, right?
Exactly.
Very good. Well, Trigvy Olson, our perennial our weekly guest here, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, is on the line with us. And yes, Mr. Olson, you are joining us from the Mountain Time Zone, I understand.
I am. We're on, you know, last week I was in Wisconsin. Well, actually, I was at O'Hare when we did this. this week I'm down in the great state of Arizona to find out what's going on down here politically. And I will say, I think if there are two ground zeros of elections in the United States, they are in Arizona and Wisconsin. So
give us the skinny on Arizona. You got that goofball Lake who went off the rails.
Very
of course, Lake. Yeah, she lost. But is she trying to kind of resurface as a senatorial candidate?
You know, a lot of the talk down here is, you know, she's going to Iowa. She wants to be Donald Trump's running mate.
And you know what? She might be.
Oh, you know what? People like Carrie Lake don't go away. She's like the character in Fatal Attraction. It's got Glenn Close or Sharon Stone. And I'm dating myself because like half our listeners, right. Any of the millennials have no idea what I'm talking about.
Well, I loved it.
That's what she's like.
But people like her, Marjorie Taylor Greene, I mean, I don't think he's going to go with a mainstream, assuming he gets the nomination, which I think right now he's going to, Trump. But, I mean, I don't think he's going to go with some sort of quote-unquote mainstream, you know, guy like Mike Pence again. I think he's going to go for a wacko.
Of course. He's going to go all in.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to own it. And if he gets the nomination again, I mean, think about how they're going to try and stop him. They're trying to stop him with DeSantis, although the Fox News poll would suggest that, you know, he's got 40-some percent locked up, and he's probably running ahead of DeSantis, even in a 1-to-1. So the reality is if he defeats them, he probably will go with somebody to try and demonstrate that he totally owns them. It will not be an attempt to to placate. As far as Kari Lake goes, though, this is the thing that's ironic about Kari Lake, and it kind of gets into something else I think you want to talk about.
Yeah.
Kari Lake actually was a huge Obama supporter. She was like all in on Obama.
That's crazy.
She doesn't. I don't think she has any moral compass. She's just whatever she thinks is going to get Kari Lake ahead.
Right. And but the state, I mean, they have two Democratic U.S. senators right now representing Arizona.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess Kristen Cinema became an independent.
Right.
You know, it will be interesting to see if she runs. There was a lot of skepticism that she's actually going to run for re-election, because if it's a three-way race, you know, then Kari Lake could win, probably would win, because the Democrats would split the vote.
Right.
And apparently on the Republican side, there's amongst the more establishment Republicans, which, you know, the former governor, Doug Ducey, he certainly wasn't an election denier. He did the right thing.
Right.
But they're talking about, you know, which one of them should run in the primary for U.S. Senate. And they're apparently struggling because all of them are afraid if they run against Kari Lake, they could, in fact, lose. That she may represent a majority of the Republican Party down here. So,
like ahead to 2024, Wisconsin, of course, in the crosshairs of the all electoral 11 electoral votes are on the table and appear to be pretty important. So, you're saying Arizona probably? What do they have? 4 or 6? I mean, how many? I forget how many electorals they have.
But, I think they have eight.
Oh, is it eight? All right.
Because remember, Arizona keeps growing.
That's right.
Yeah, I think Arizona and Wisconsin are, you know, they're going to be, and they kind of were last cycle, right?
Yeah.
Like the governor's races in Wisconsin and Arizona were really seen as the two most competitive in the country amongst states that, you know, amongst those kind of purple states. And interestingly, Todd, you'll find this fascinating. You know, obviously we're meeting with a bunch of political people. You were getting asked questions about the state Supreme Court race in Wisconsin.
Really? Well,
they found out I was from Wisconsin. A lot of them asked.
Well, let's kind of pivot to that then if we can, as long as you brought it up. Of course, we have this big Supreme Court race already, the most expensive in U.S., not just Wisconsin. WisPolitics reporting yesterday that this is the most, so even just so far, we got, you know, over 3.5 weeks left, and this thing is already the most expensive in U.S. history for a state Supreme Court race. And now you have this goofball, Dan O'Donnell, who appears on another radio network here in Wisconsin, right-wing whack job. And he's out there on Twitter calling for disinformation, asking, you know, telling that we have to put disinformation out there to essentially attack Janet Protasiewicz. And this leads into kind of the bigger story I want your take on, Trigvi, which is this whole Fox News Dominion voting case. We've been talking about it. Matt Flynn's been talking about it. Kristen Bry's been talking about it on this network. And for anybody who's lived under a rock, here's the really short version, that this company Dominion, who had voting machines in the 2020 election, when after Trump lost and he did lose, he just kind of pulled out of thin air, oh, it was Dominion voting machines that were changed, you know, by elves or something, were changing votes. Nothing to it. And what he didn't know is that Dominion mainly had voting machines in the red states where he won. But as it turns out, they also have voting machines in Europe. So Dominion's saying, you know what, this is, you've hurt our reputation, we're losing money, so they're suing Fox News for spreading all this disinformation. But there's been a deposition, sworn testimony, and what has come out is that almost all the Fox News hosts, under either deposition or discovery, it turned out that they admitted they knew that the 2020 election was won by Joe Biden. They knew what Donald Trump was peddling was BS and a lie, but they did it anyway. And now yesterday or the day before in the New York Times, you've got Rupert Murdoch, the head of Fox News, saying that he also knew, but yet they put this stuff out there anyway. I think this is just extraordinarily dangerous to democracy. But also, Trigvi, the question we've all, as hosts on this network, have said, how do we talk to our friends and neighbors about this, who either A, as Kristen pointed out, people she's talked to, Republicans, are saying, well, this happens on both sides. This is just, you know, both sides put out disinformation. This is just both sides. I'm looking at it from the standpoint of, hey, I don't think it does any good to tell our friends and neighbors in Southwest and Northwest Wisconsin you're idiots, which they're not. There are a lot of them are good people that were just misled. So what's your take on all this?
So, you know, Todd, I don't know if you know this, but I speak on that topic because I have some expertise on extremism and from my work around the world. You have to look for cognitive dissonance. Mm-hmm. But so what you have to find is you have to find things that are incongruent in their values, in how they live their lives versus what they're accepting politically. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, you know, when Dan O'Donnell, that's unbelievable that he's said that. What he's in essence saying is that we have to lie to people because right. we can't win on ideas. That's what he's in essence saying. And the fact that he's like no longer feels that he has to cover it up tells you kind of where the Trump era has taken us. Rupert Murdoch, and you know, he basically admitted, because he got a follow-up question, well, why are you doing this? Is it about the money? And he basically said, yeah, that's what it's about. You know, those people are not, you know, it's not news if you're telling people what they want to hear. Necessarily. Sometimes news might be what people want to hear. Sometimes news is what people don't want to hear. News is about, you know, truths. And I think they've disqualified themselves as a news station. Problem is that they're still trying to entertain people every night. And that, you know, and they're trying to do it by, you know, giving them the outrage that they want. If you have a neighbor who's into that outrage, and I'll tell you a good one. If they're an older Republican who you know likes Ronald Reagan, ask them what they think Ronald Reagan would be doing with Putin and the Russians.
Yeah.
No, that's how you get into it. Yeah. If they like Tommy Thompson, you know, say, didn't Tommy Thompson reform welfare? Why are these people wanting to put this on the ballot again now? You already won.
I think that's a really good point, and I think the key is not to paint everyone with a broad brush. I mean, look, if you've got a Trump 2024, you know, sticker on the back of your F-150 and have flags up that say, you know, let's go Brandon, you know, then I probably can't help you. But I think there are also, as you just said, people who voted for Reagan, people who voted for Tommy Thompson, who are just frustrated with some of the agenda, as you pointed out before. It doesn't do a whole lot of good for folks in rural Wisconsin when they see Bernie Sanders come in and you know, rile up people that's not what they want to vote for. And I think some of those people still are wanting to vote Republican, and that's fine. But they turn on Fox and they, you know, they're from the days of Walter Cronkite and Dan Rather and Peter Jennings. If it's on TV, it's news, it has to be true. And right. You know, it's not. I mean, Fox News is an entertainment venue. And with you, agree or disagree, with the exception still of their polling and their election night coverage, which is still pretty accurate because it's kind of separate.
I would say that Brett Baer tries to be a real journalist. Mm-hmm. So I think that's he's a little different. Mm-hmm. How long he'll stay at Fox is another question. Everything in the evening lineup, you know, Hannity, Tucker,
Laura Ingraham,
they're like the Jim Rome's of politics, right? Like that's what they are.
Right.
And so it's all about the sportification. My team good, other team bad. My players heroes, other teams, you know, or wrestling.
Right.
Maybe they're more like the Mean Gene Okerlunds of I don't know who the who the interview person is now in WWE. But
I ask you this last week? Did you ever go snipe hunting? Anybody ever take you snipe hunting as a kid?
No.
That's a long story. Anyway, it's a fake where you have a fake bird. They send you through a cornfield to find this fake bird. You're going through calling snipe, snipe, snipe. And to me, that's what this whole thing is. It's Fox News taking good people, otherwise decent people, in rural Wisconsin and taking them on a snipe hunt and saying, here's what it is. Go after it. Go after it. And it's all a lie. It's all made up.
They're the real elites, right? Like
right.
They think. And the truth of the matter is they're like, oh, the left thinks you're dumb, stupid, blah, blah, blah. The reality is they're the ones who are profiting right. tens of millions of dollars. You know, Sean Hannity, you think he flies on regular airplanes or whatever? Like, he doesn't. Right. You know, but they do. They think, you know, Tucker Carlson, totally elitist, comes from, you know, he's a rich kid who went to Ivy League schools. And, you know, if you read what they're saying in depositions when they're under oath, when they're forced to tell the truth, he just thinks his viewers are idiots.
Right. That, exactly. And so my point is, to folks who are listening, don't let them take you. Don't let them make you look like the fool. Think for yourselves. Find out what's going on. Speaking of sticking up for yourself, one Republican at Fox News, Mr. Paul Ryan, has spoken out against the Trumpster. And also, the Brian the Shim Sham Man has not returned my text. We'll talk about that with Trigby after this on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. The Todd Allball Show. It is now 8:33 on a Wednesday, the first day of March 2023. Glad to have you along. Mr. Aaron Zommer is on the board, our producer, engineer, our guest this hour. As always, on a Wednesday, we appreciate him. Trigby Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. Going to get into our conversation with him in just a moment, but quick check of weather, first of all, with Kara Foster from Weatherology. And Kara, how are you this morning?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Well, not bad at all. We're in the middle of our great interview here with Trigby Olson. So we'll go right to the forecast here so we get back to the interview with him. But a little weather system coming in today, particularly for our northern listeners. Is that right?
Yeah, basically the north section of the state, mainly northwestern portion as well, is seeing this, you know, this very interesting system move through. It has some bands of heavy snowfall. It has even some mixed precipitation throughout the southern half of it. It is going to bring some accumulation throughout that northern portion of the state, mainly throughout the first half of the day for the northwestern portion, the second half of the day, obviously throughout the northeastern portion. First part of it's going to be a little bit heavier. Second half of it should be a little bit lighter, might be a little mixed with rain as well, because we are still a little bit warmer with this system. Today we are reaching a high of 34 in Amory. We're about 50 in Richland Center. So the southern half of the state doesn't have to worry about too much. There is just the bottom half of that kind of system just making its way kind of through that portion of the state. It's a very thin system, so it's probably going to be a blink of an eye and it's over. But you could see some mixed precipitation today, but with how warm that is, you're probably going to see mainly rain. And then through Wausau, we're still reaching a high of 34. They're going to still see that kind of mixture of rain and drizzle with that snow, but still expecting about 1 to 3 inches for anyone throughout the northern portion of the state. Then as we head into tonight, cloudy skies, we're going to stay a little bit cooler, dipping down to 11 in Amory, 26 in Richland Center, and then dropping down to about 16, maybe some lingering flurries throughout overnight, and that should clear up pretty quickly. Then from there, it's pretty much smooth sailing throughout the rest of the week and into this weekend. I mean, sunshine throughout Thursday, we're going to be in the 30s and 40s. Cloudy skies Thursday night, upper teens, lower 20s. Still staying sunny for Friday, mid 30s, maybe lower 40s throughout the southern portions of the state on Friday. And then as we head into the weekend, still sitting in the 30s and 40s, maybe even the 50s in some of the southern portions, of course. And then as we head into Sunday, we'll still see some sunshine, still see those warmer temperatures, but we'll have a chance for some of that rain and snow to come right back in later that evening into Sunday night going into Monday. But we'll leave that for the next week. We don't have to worry about that as of right now. Just focus on getting through this little system, then it should clear up and we'll enjoy the sunshine while it lasts. I'm meteorologist Kara Foster.
Kara, you're fantastic. 50 degrees today in the RC. You know what we call that down Richland Center? We call that shorts weather. Break out, get out the grill. My
right,
gosh, 50
exactly.
degrees on March 1st. That's fantastic.
Spring is here.
All right. Thank you, Kara.
Exactly.
We appreciate you. Talk to you tomorrow. All right.
You
got to
catch you then.
Bye-bye. Back to our interview with Trigby Olson. Thanks for holding on, Trigby. We appreciate that. We are talking this hour, or at least this segment here, a little bit about what this Fox News and Dominion lawsuit, which is, long and short of it is, has come out under oath, under deposition, sworn testimony, that Fox News executives and hosts, including Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham and the rest, knew that what Trump was peddling in 2020 and early 2021 was a lie, that the election was rigged and that he had won. Complete lie. They knew that. They acknowledged it to each other in texts and emails and verbal conversation. Rupert Murdoch goes on the record and say he wishes that he never believed it, number one, he said. And number two, he wishes now in hindsight that they would have addressed it more on the air. Yeah, I bet he does. But anyway, so this week, and of course, nobody in Fox really wants to really speak out against this too much except under deposition, except for one guy, a former Wisconsin congressman and former Speaker of the House of Representatives, Paul Ryan, who is on WISN's Upfront program in Milwaukee this weekend. And they started talking a little bit about the 2024 Republican National Convention, which is going to be held in Milwaukee next year. And here's a little bit of that interview.
Come 2024, the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, where will you be?
It depends on who the nominee is. I'll be here if it's somebody not named Trump.
You won't show up if it's not.
Yeah, I'm not interested in participating in that, no.
Even in Wisconsin.
Even Wisconsin.
So there you go. There's what Speaker Ryan had to say. Not going to be there, disavowing himself. And again, I've said it on this program, it would have been nice if he had done a little bit more of that when he was actually Speaker the first 2 years of Trump's presidency. But, you know, again, let's live in the present and give him credit where credit's due. The Trumpster didn't take too much time to respond to Speaker Ryan's comment. He went on his own platform, his social media platform, and he put this statement out from Donald J. Trump. Quote, Paul Ryan is a loser. Mitt Romney could have won without him. I won twice, did much better the second time, and was 233 wins out of 253 races in midterms. Paul Ryan is destroying Fox and couldn't get elected dog catcher of the Republican Party. That's what the Trumpster had to say. So, not wanting to misrepresent the Republican Party of Wisconsin, which, of course, I was a former member of until 2011, I took to Twitter. And, you know, the current chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin is Brian Schimming. Known Brian, as I know Trigby has for years. And, you know, a decent person to have a beer with. Got nothing wrong with that. But, you know, he's stayed in there, unlike Trigby and I, who said, I guess we have a little bit of morals, and we walked away. The Schimster has stayed there. So I took to Twitter, and I said, hey, at WisGOP, hey, at Brian Schimming, who you with, Speaker Ryan or the Trumpster? Just want to make sure I represent your position accurately tomorrow on the All Ball Show. Thanks. Also, do you agree Trump won twice or agree with Speaker Ryan that, quote, Donald Trump lost, and I put in parentheses, second election? Wanted to know. Asked him. I just want to make sure I quote them. Guess what?
He didn't answer.
Surprise, surprise. I have not heard back any reply from either the Republican Party of Wisconsin or the chairman, Brian Arthur Schimming. Are you surprised by this, Mr. Olson?
I am shocked. Schimming is probably too busy running around the state schmoozing older ladies at Lincoln Day dinners to get back to it.
Well, Bonnie Gift is long gone, so I'm not sure.
My mother's still kicking, and every time she sees Brian, she sends. He asks, they take a picture together, and they send it to me.
I love it.
But it's nice that he asks.
Right.
How I'm doing. he knows full well. Living truth, not right. Covering up.
I mean, this is a hell of a position, right? I mean, what, you know, that internally they're going nuts. I mean, I can just hear Schimming going, geez, I want what the heck, you know. I mean, he's just ticked off because it puts him in a no-win scenario. In the Star Trek terms, it's a Kobayashi Maru. It's a no-win scenario.
Well, this is the thing. Remember when I said about cognitive dissonance? It's a no-win situation because there are people who are like, they know Paul Ryan personally. They've known him for a long time in Wisconsin, and he is speaking something uncomfortable, and they may be like, well, Trump told me the election's stolen, but I know Paul, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's why Trump comes out, and all autocrats do this. That's why Trump comes out immediately and tries to screw up the conversation. But, sure. Yeah, if you're Schimming, it's a really uncomfortable spot. It really, really is. And I'm glad Paul is speaking out now. Could Paul have done more earlier? Sure.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you know, with these kinds of things, there's only two kinds of people. There's irredeemables, and they're a very small subset. You know, Donald Trump, you know, Jason Miller, and some of the people that are closest to him. And then the others, you know, are redeemable. If they decide to start speaking the truth, Mike Pence and all these others, they can be part of the solution. The problem is that all of the ones who are running for president, none of them want to say it.
Exactly.
None of them want to criticize. And that's Brian Schimming right now. It's the same thing. He can't do that because, and honestly, Todd, it's kind of like Fox. I think at the end of the day, the reason why Brian doesn't do that, because Brian is a decent guy.
Right.
The reason Brian doesn't want to do it is he knows fundraising will dry up and that will be the end of the Republican Party under his watch. And so he's willing to appease somebody and push the falsehoods in the same way Rupert Murdoch was.
I agree. And you know, there came out the deposition as well that Paul Ryan in the deposition, it came out that he had said during this time, while he was on the Fox News board, he told Murdoch that this was a lie. They should quit peddling these lies. So he did speak out internally. And I know there's a lot of Democrats, a lot of progressives out there who say, well, he's still on the Fox News board. He's still part of it. Okay, fine. I'm not saying Paul Ryan's an angel all of a sudden. All I'm saying is, you know, I'm willing to live in the present and at least give a little bit of credit to someone who you still has some position of influence and power in the Republican Party to actually speak out. Because like you said, name me one sitting Republican who is saying these kind of things. I don't know of anybody.
That Liz and Adam are out of Congress, right? Now,
right.
Mitt Romney was a little bit around the edges. He said, I won't vote for Donald Trump. And then they asked him, well, will you vote for Joe Biden? And he's like, well, well, you only have two choices, right?
Right.
Now, is it good that Mitt Romney is saying he won't vote for Donald Trump? Yeah, absolutely. But he should also counter, you know, and say that, you know, he thinks Joe Biden, what he thinks about Joe Biden. I do think on the left, and this is one of the things the left doesn't get, they'll be critical. You know, Paul Ryan shouldn't be on Fox's board. Well, what would you think that through? Paul Ryan actually is speaking out and saying and doing the right things. You could have Kellyanne Conway on Fox's board instead of Paul Ryan.
Exactly right. I think, you know, again, I'm not here to anoint Paul Ryan a sudden angel or anything like that. But I like you said, I think there is a little bit of room for redemption. And you have to live in the present to a certain degree and say, what are people doing now? What are they actually doing now to try to make a difference? And, you know, I'm willing to give Paul Ryan the credit for the day of actually saying something and taking a stand. Now, if Trump is the nominee and Paul Ryan is up there on the dais with him, well, then everything's out the window. But for now, let's give him the credit that he deserves.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not so sure that having the Republican convention in Milwaukee, normally you have the convention in a state and you think that will give you the advantage. And maybe I said this last week. Push you over the line.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that that's the case with the Republicans in Wisconsin.
Well,
it may be counterproductive.
Again, it puts him in a really awkward position, right? I mean, let's say Paul Ryan sticks to his word, and let's assume that he is. I mean, he's not going to be there. Suddenly now Robin Voss and Devin Lemahieu and Howard Markline and all the rest are going to say, well, Paul Ryan took a stand. Why haven't you? I just think that makes it super uncomfortable for them. I mean, is Tommy Thompson going to end up on the dais with Trump? I don't know.
Can't imagine that.
I'd be surprised, but he did go down and kiss the ring at Mar-a-Lago and he was trying to decide whether he wanted to run for senator or whatever. So, or governor.
He's going to run again.
Yeah. Well, we're going to come back and talk a little bit about the whack job that is Marjorie Taylor Greene, and see what she's doing out in Washington. And also, maybe we didn't get to it last week, and Aaron Rodgers has come out of his darkness, his house of darkness.
Out of the darkness.
And we'll talk to a Packers owner that is also Trivi Olsen and find out what his thoughts are. Will number 12 come back this season, or is it on to the season of love? Can you imagine? That'd be great. The season of love.
I like that.
Right?
The seasons of love. There could be just love all over Wisconsin.
Love is all around. That'll be the new theme song for the Packers. Love is all around. I think that's fantastic. We got 30 seconds here. Did you see this thing on Jimmy Kimmel? It comes out now that Trump instructed people at DOJ, Department of Justice, to investigate Jimmy Kimmel while Trump was in office. I thought that was hilarious.
he encouraged them to investigate us at the Lincoln Project at one point.
What a paranoid SOB. Anyway, we'll come back and talk more to Trigby after this. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Show. It is now 8:50 on the Wednesday, the 1st of March, 2023. Glad to have Trigby Olsen, Senior Advisor to the Lincoln Project nationally, on our show each and every Wednesday. Like myself, he is a former Republican here from Wisconsin who has now gone on to go and do greater and wonderful things across the country and across the world, and advising some of the top folks in this country and in the world on democracy and how to preserve it and how to extend it. One threat to democracy, in my opinion, Trigby, we'll get your opinion, the whack job that is Marjorie Taylor Greene, the congresswoman, and I use that term lightly with her, was on Charlie Kirk's show, which himself is a disturbed individual.
I was going to say, when I saw this link you sent, not only is it Marjorie Taylor Greene, it's Charlie Kirk. This is going to be a hard one to listen to.
Well, I don't want to give her, I'm not, it's not that, it's a conflict, right? Because you don't like to give them play. But I also think it's good to, because other people in Western rural Wisconsin, they watch this. I know people, well, I saw it on Facebook, and it's like, and Facebook is not a news organization in and of itself. You can, subscribe, or you can follow things like CBS or ABC or CNN, but if you see something on Facebook, it is not necessarily the news. In fact, oftentimes it is not. And I know this has been making the rounds, so I want to play this clip. This is Marjorie Taylor Greene on the Charlie Kirk Show. Go ahead, Aaron.
I don't think the left would ever stop. I don't think they'll ever stop trying to invade our states or our counties. So how do we stop them?
Well, I think that, red states could choose in how they allow people to vote in their states. For example, over the past couple of years, we've seen a mass exodus from California and New York, where we've seen people fleeing those leftist policies and moving to states like Florida, Georgia, Texas.
This is a test of the Central and East Central Wisconsin Emergency Alert System. In the event of an emergency, the system would bring you important information. The test is now concluded.
Their red states don't get changed, which is what's happening, unfortunately, when Democrat voters leave their Democrat states and they take their Democrat votes with them. That would be something that these red states would have to really consider and choose to do. But I'm a big believer in freedom, Charlie. But I'm also a big believer in defending our ability to pursue life and liberty and happiness. And the left is completely destroying that for those of us on the right.
So there is a sitting United States Congresswoman, Marjorie Taylor Greene, for all intent and purposes, the leader of the Republican caucus in the United States House of Representatives, openly suggesting on the air that certain states, red states in her words, could take away the constitutional right to vote for up to 5 years if you happen to be someone from a quote-unquote blue state or a Democrat. I mean, never in my life, Trigvi, did I think I would hear a sitting United States congressperson suggest taking away a constitutional right flat out based on what you believe. I mean, that is bizarre.
Well, she is the definition of tomfoolery. She just, you know, like, I think, but you have to take her serious. This
yes.
is the thing. It's like, she was responsible and is super tight with Kevin McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy prostituted himself to become Speaker of the House and basically gave people like Marjorie Taylor Greene everything that she wanted. And you have to take this serious. Now, for those who are listening who are thinking, yeah, the left is trying to infringe on my values, you know, maybe she's got a point. Think about how you would feel if the shoe were on the other foot. So if you're going to say, yeah, I think this is a good idea, you have to say to yourself, well, if the left were proposing it, it's a good idea too, or it's a bad idea for both sides, right? Or just be honest and admit that you don't really care about democracy and the Constitution and all the things that Republicans have said they care about for all these years, and that you'd be perfectly fine with autocratic rule as long as your side is the one that's ruling. But I can tell you, having worked with people who live in autocratic countries all over the world, autocracy is really, really great for the small 2% that are in charge. It really stinks for the other 98%, including those who helped put him in power because they supported him.
It sickens me, quite frankly. And again, the only reason I play it is because I think that some people wouldn't believe it if they heard it. And I wanted to play it in its entirety so I can't be accused of chopping it up or whatever. But, I mean, this is the stuff that's out there. And this woman, Marjorie Taylor Greene, has as good a shot of anybody as being the running mate, the second in line to the presidency, if Trump were elected again. I mean, this is...
Well, did you see the video she put out on her Instagram of her doing CrossFit?
No.
It's apparently become a thing for those on that sort of far, fringy, MAGA intolerant, radicalized right. They put out, you know how they all have pictures of them with their large weaponry?
Yeah.
Right? And honestly, this is the thing. I have quite a few guns.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was a gun guy. I'm a little bit of a gun guy.
Sure.
I would never in a million years imagine that I'm going to take my Christmas card and break out my weaponry.
Yes.
Have my 9mm, my daughter holding my 9mm, and me with my dad's 20 gauge, which is a family heirloom, right?
Right.
And I don't have an AR, so I don't have a bunch of sporting rifles. But then what she posted recently is her doing CrossFit.
Oh, God.
So CrossFit has become the new thing that they're all posting. You got Madison Cawthorn beating up a tree and her doing pull-ups and push-ups. And like, what are they doing? Right? Like,
and the funny part is, Trigvi, these folks all act, you know, big and, you know, like they got big stones or whatever. And at the first hint of actual distress on January 6th, Madison Cawthorn, not Cawthorn, but Josh Hawley is running out the Capitol right. like a little girl. You know, they don't right. have any actual exactly. courage. I mean, they don't have the courage of our right. armed forces, of our men and women who actually serve. They don't have any actual courage. Anyway.
Well, you know what? I was with somebody, I don't want to say who, because it's not really fair, but I was with somebody that's kind of not in that Marjorie Taylor Greene ilk, but, you know, over on that fringe at an event one time, and part of the event was, you know, they were going to go target shooting was one of the options for entertainment. And this person was telling me, how they were going to go target shooting because they'd never actually shot a gun.
Oh, my gosh.
And yet, they were just like, you know. So,
oh, tricky.
It's all masquerading yes. as trying to be.
Well,
honestly, this is how we could fix it. We could fix it if they all
seconds.
Went on darkness retreats.
All right. Thanks, Trivia. Sorry we ran out of time for the Packers. We'll put it on the top of the list next week. We'll talk to you then. Trivia Olson from the Lincoln Project. Thanks, we appreciate you.
Yep, thanks.